Welcome to Casting Hope, a sermon podcast of Hope Presbyterian Church in Columbus, Ohio. My name is Joe Hack, pastor at Hope, and we are so glad that you are listening in. We would love to connect with you in person at our Sunday gathering. In the meantime, we hope this message points you to Jesus, the reason we gather.
I remember the first time that I rafted the Upper Gauley River. This so-called river has five Class 5 rapids. The first of these rapids is called Insignificant. That's the name of the rapid, Insignificant. And according to one website, quote, has to be the worst named rapid on the planet. I didn't realize, in other words, what I was getting into. And we all do this. We pursue that new job. We pursue big investments, the good job perhaps because it has good pay. We jump into marriage maybe even because we're in love, but we don't realize all that we are getting into. The joys for sure, but the challenges not so much. And friends, this is true of following Jesus as well. In our passage that we just heard read this morning, which is Luke chapter 12, if you have a Bible, you could open there to follow along. I'll also put the text on the screen. Luke chapter 12, 1 through 12. The disciples, about this moment, might be asking, what have we gotten ourselves into? If you look at the first verse, meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. So this is chaos. It's easy to overlook at first, but this is chaos. And it will soon calm for sure, but not for long. And that's Luke's point. Because Jesus is at this moment in the Gospel of Luke leading his disciples into the heart of chaos. Luke 9:51 says, Jesus set his face like flint to Jerusalem, where he will encounter the greater exodus, his crucifixion. And so Jesus here is leading his disciples toward the chaos of the cross. His cross for sure, his atoning cross. But our cross also. A deadly rapid is coming. But friends, Jesus is a good river guide. Did you notice how verse 1 ends? If you take a closer look, it says, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. And that word first is so significant. I actually love how Eugene Peterson captures this. But Jesus' primary concern was his disciples. In the chaos, in other words, Jesus' primary concern were his disciples. In our chaos, we are Jesus' primary concern. And this is always true. And to prove this, he gives us four gifts. Four gifts. And the first gift is this, the gift of discernment. If you look again at the first few verses of this passage, he says, be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. And what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. And so our biggest threat, according to Jesus, is not obvious. It's hypocrisy, which is what Peterson calls Pharisee phoniness. Jesus says this threat tries to stay concealed, verse 2, hidden, like a whisper, more like yeast, which is invisible, but it starts to take over. And it's dangerous because it fools you and it fools others into thinking you are close to God when in fact you are far from Him. This is the hidden danger of hypocrisy. But here's what happens. Jesus says, be on guard. What is he doing? He's giving you the gift of discernment. He would not tell his disciples, be on guard if you couldn't be on guard. You understand? I learned recently there are three kinds of tasters in the world. There are super tasters, there are non-tasters, and there's everybody in between. Okay? Scholarship has showed this. The super tasters are three times more sensitive to bitter food. Anyone? Anyone here? Maybe you're realizing something for the first time right now. This means they're usually picky eaters, but the benefit of this is they're way less likely to get food poisoned. I'm pretty sure I'm a non-taster. Just ask my family. I'll eat anything. I can smell anything because I don't smell it practically, even if it makes me sick. And here's the thing. Unlike me, Jesus makes you a super taster. We'll put it that way. He gives you triple sensitivity to the bitter taste of hypocrisy. The Holy Spirit, in other words, is a built-in hypocrisy detector. In others, for sure. But more importantly, within ourselves. The gift of discernment. Second, Jesus keeps us in the boat when the deadly rapid is approaching with the gift of friendship. I want you to look at verses 4 through 7. He says, I tell you, my friends, hang on to that word, circle that word. It's easy to overlook in this passage. Hang on, my friends, says Jesus. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And so Jesus emphasizes two things here. The high authority of God. And the deep friendship of God. God is high above us. He alone has the authority to throw someone into hell, says Jesus. But Jesus also says in the same breath that God is also tenderly near his own. Jesus says in this text, God values you. Jesus says in this text, God knows you intimately, better than you even know yourself with your hair count. Jesus, in this text, verse 4, calls you his friend. And this, friends, is the divine gift, the gift of divine friendship that only Jesus gives us. While we were yet enemies, Jesus came to make you his friend. While we were yet enemies, Jesus came to make you his friend. And so now we don't have to fear the worst that the world can do to us. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying to a bunch of afraid disciples, you do not need to fear. To paraphrase the words of a musician, the only one we should fear is God, and he is my friend. He is for me, and he is with me. And this paradoxical combination of the high authority of God and the deep and near tenderness of God, I think is the only thing that can release us from the grip of fear. Third, Jesus gives us the gift of perspective. If you look at verses 8 through 10. Whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of God will also acknowledge me before the angels of God. Verse 9. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Let me just say a word about that last verse. The unforgiven sin that Jesus is speaking of here is the sin of apostasy. Disowning Jesus for good. It's Judas, not Peter. But when we are pressured or tempted to do that, when we are tempted, whether it's from within or without, to do that, to disown Jesus, Jesus is saying, you are secure. Why? Because here he plants within you an eternal perspective, like a seed. What Peter calls a living hope. You are invited by King Jesus right now to experience, even in your imagination, a future day when Jesus says your name before the angels. Like a proud older brother. So imagine that. Just imagine Jesus saying your name to the angels with no hint of disappointment. What does that sound like? And now, live your life in light of that. This is the gift of eternal perspective. It's how Jesus safeguards us into always choosing Jesus. Again, it's what Peter calls a living hope, which is like a seed that has been planted within us. It's a hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is living in light of an assurance of what will happen one day. And this is his gift of perspective. And finally, friends, Jesus gives us the gift of empowerment. Verse 11 and 12, when you are brought before the synagogue's rulers and authorities, that's scary. And that would have been scary to the original audience. Do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. Why? Why could you say such a thing? Verse 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. This is the gift of empowerment. When the river gets deadly, God does not watch from the banks. He gets in the boat with us by the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is a good river guide who gives you all you need to stay in the boat. He gives you the gift of discernment. He gives you the gift of friendship. He gives you the gift of perspective. And here he gives you the gift of Holy Spirit empowerment. But most of all, he gives you the gift of himself. Remember, you are his primary concern. Right now and always. And this primary concern is proven at the cross when he jumps off the boat into the deadly rapid so that you will never be taken under. That's how much and to what extent you are his primary concern. He enters the chaos to keep us safe so that we would never get pulled under. He is the good shepherd. And what does a good shepherd do? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, friends, may we stay in the boat. Hope Church, may we stay in the boat. Even if we don't know what we're getting involved in here with Jesus and with following Jesus, may we stay in the boat because that is where Jesus is.
Thanks for listening in. For more resources like this and to learn more about Hope, please visit our website at hopechurchcolumbus.org.